You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
How are you guys doing?
Doing good. It's been a good day down over here in Florida. The weather was a little rough today. We were supposed to go out on a boat this morning, but storm came in. But we had some friends come over, and we just hung out all day and had food and had some beers and just relaxed. So it was a good day.
Listen, man, I have been jealous of you for months, so I'm just going to say this right now. It was sunny and warm here today, and ha.
Dude, you and Dave are going to be on the same page in that arena, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm so fucking over his weather reports. I don't need to hear it anymore, man.
Yeah, but given that, yes, it's nice during the winter, but it does get pretty freaking hot here in the summer, and it's not always that great. But
and your wallet's too small for your 50s, and your diamond shoes are too tight.
That's good stuff. So Dave, how do you want to do this? You want to lead this one, or you want me to lead it? What do you want to do?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, you kind of set everything up. I mean, if you want to lead, then by all means.
Yeah, I mean, I can give it a whirl. You're usually you're better at this stuff, but
yeah. Aww, that's so sweet.
All right.
There's really no reason to butter me up. It's not like I'm going to give you a raise.
Raise, yeah. That's a good one. Well, it can only go up from here, right?
Well, this is true. It's true. Very true.
All right. I'm going to pull up Fight Club real quick on my IMDb. I haven't done that yet. Tonight. So Scott, when was the last time you visited this movie?
I have not. For me, it's been, I want to say, at least a year, maybe a year and a half.
Okay.
But that's not too bad. I know this movie by heart. Like, I want to say I wore out the DVD and had to repurchase it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was so glad it made the cut, because you were like, yeah, we talked about the 90s. I was like, please be 99. Please be 99.
Yeah.
Just barely, like by 45 days, but it was.
Yeah, it's like 15th of October of 99. So anyway, all right, let me get started.
Yeah.
So 3, 2, 1.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I am just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
How much can you know about yourself if you've never been in a fight?
He was tired of his job.
You want me to prioritize my report?
Yeah. Sick of his stuff.
The things you own end up owning you.
Looking for something new.
First rule of Fight Club is do not talk about Fight Club.
But he wasn't ready for what he found. From the director of Seven. Brad Pitt, Edward Norton.
Little by little, just letting yourself become all the ways you'd like to be.
This is too much.
What did you expect?
Fight Club, rated R. Friday, only in theaters.
Welcome back to another episode of Banzai Retro Club. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a movie, and I have with me Dave.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
And we have a special guest tonight. Scott Doucette. I met Scott through some Facebook feeds and podcasting. So Scott, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and tell the audience, you know, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Scott Doucette, founder of Podcast Bay Productions. We're a podcast production company. New father. So that's really exciting. Musician in a past life, played a lot of music, obsessed with heavy metal, love metal. And yeah, man, just trying to figure this whole adulting thing out one day at a time for the most part.
Well, if you figure it out, let me know.
Yeah, and we both got like a good 20 years on you.
Yeah, man, I'm trying.
Yeah. So,
But I got a question, Scott. So the shows that you normally do, or the format that you normally do, are usually what, business related and productivity related?
You know, for the most part, yeah, we do sales, we do ads, we do finance, we do stuff like that. But there are a few that slip through the cracks. Like we do one called Dark Ascent, and it's all about like demons and black magic and things like that. That's pretty cool. We do one called Childless Not by Choice. We edit that one, and it's, you know, for people who couldn't have kids. So, you know, really attached to that cause, and it's a good, great show for us to be producing. So we do a lot of stuff like outside of the business wheelhouse, but to be completely honest with you, that is where the bulk of the money, seems to come from.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah, so this would be a little bit out of your wheelhouse, just being kind of off the cuff and doing like a show just on entertainment only.
Yeah, but I love it, man, because like, just to give you an idea, like Kevin Smith is one of my favorite people on earth. I enjoy getting out and just talking and doing the entertainment thing, because like all day long talking about podcasts, man, it gets boring. So boring. Just like, to say the same things over and over again. Like it's Bill Murray's Groundhog Day every day out there sometimes.
Yeah. I can see that. You know, it starts becoming a job, and then, you know, so this is a nice little break from the job.
Absolutely. And I like the whole improvisational bit. It's nice.
Yeah. You know, we really are pretty just off the cuff, like Dave said, and we just kind of go for it, and we just chit chat, and we'll, you know, we'll go through it. So let me get back to what we're talking about tonight. First,
Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck.
No, not Howard the Duck.
Damn it. Okay.
No. We're breaking the rule. Rule number one. The first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club, and here we are going to talk about Fight Club. So I thought that was pretty pretty funny that we're going to be talking about a movie that you're not supposed to talk about. Right?
Yeah, man, I love it. It's like easily my favorite movie of all time.
Really? Wow.
And that probably says a lot about me as a person.
No, it's interesting. It's definitely an interesting thing to know about you. So when were you first exposed to this movie? When it first came out? Or
my sister is 6 years my senior, and she was reading the book when she was in high school. So I think I got my hands on it in like grade six, you know. And so I flipped the book open, and if you weren't a fan of the movie, stay away from the book. The book is even weirder. Like the author Chuck Palahniuk goes into some strange places in that book. And so when the movie came out, I watched it, and unfortunately it like solidified Brad Pitt as like an awesome actor for me, which, so I ended up buying a bunch of Brad Pitt movies after that, and very disappointed.
Come on. Legends of the Fall. Really? Do you have a problem with that?
I still own that one. That one's a pretty good one. But,
no, I know. There's some hit or miss for sure.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely some that missed. Meet Joe Black was surprisingly a good one too. I enjoyed that one. But Fight Club, for whatever reason, I grew up in a military family, and Fight Club had just enough of that like don't give a crap attitude that I was just like, yes, rebellion. It's amazing. But then when you start watching it and peeling back the layers, like, you realize there's so much psychology in it. It's unreal. Like, weirdest movie ever, but I loved it.
What about you, Dave? Where did you start with this one?
Oh, Fight Club. I mean, I saw it definitely when it was first released, and I don't even remember, you know, the when and where of the situation. I just remember being blown away by it. And I don't think we're worried about spoilers on this, right? So, you know, I mean, obviously Darth Vader is Luke's father. Okay, we got it. But no, just, you know, as far as, like, you know, the twist on it, you know, it just blew me away. It was like, what? I just didn't realize that was coming. And for a movie to take you on such a fun ride and not let go, and be just dark, witty, powerful, and then twist you up at the end. I friggin' loved it. It was just beautiful, beautiful cinematography as far as giving a story and presenting a story to us. So to me, I've always felt that way about this movie. And I was excited to be able to watch it again, which I did when we first started talking about doing this. Maybe a few weeks back. And there were so many of the things that I had forgotten about that I just really loved, you know, to catch this time around. You know, and, like, for instance, I completely had forgotten the fact that they never gave Ed Norton's character a name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The narrator. And I was like, that's all he's known as. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd never caught that really before, you know, so I thought, well, that's really cool. And then today I was reading on the there was something that every scene has a Starbucks cup in it. And now I'm like, I got to watch it again just so I can try to see that. So it's like, you know, there's little nuggets and Easter eggs that, you know, just will go by if you're not paying attention. And there's so much of this movie. There's so much depth in it that I just really love it. And so, yeah, this is. You know, I wouldn't say it's, like, in my top five movies, but it's close.
So my initial experience with this movie, I was, like, going through this phase where I didn't like Brad Pitt. Like, there was a few movies that had come out, or a couple that I was really, like, I don't know, like, just turned off, like, this guy's a doofus. Like, he was just really bugging me. So I avoided this movie for a couple of years. And then I think I watched it, you know, probably 5-6 years after it came out on, you know, caught it on HBO or something like that. And I remember it being interesting, but until I rewatched it a few weeks ago, like Dave, I totally forgot how radical this movie is. Like, it is so twisted and you don't realize what's going on, and they really drop a bomb on you at the end. You know, they wait until the end. They really do. They do a great job of really not giving it away until the very end. Like, you have no idea that this is coming. So it's a really great, great way to tell a story.
What I loved about that is, like, when you go back and watch it for the 136th time, like, you you can tell that they were trying to let you know the entire time. Without letting you know, like, before Brad Pitt's character ever touches the screen as, like, a permanent character, he flashes at various points in scenes before that, like watching Edward Norton at the office or, like, standing outside at a bus stop. He just flashes on the screen really quick. So, like, and there's just tons of little things like that that lead you, that they're, like, they're letting you know, but you never really catch on until they tell you right at the end. It's beautiful.
So what you're saying is, like, you know, Ed Norton's character was subliminally picking up on this other person that was just around, and then kind of adopted as another personality?
Well, like, what happens is, like, before he meets Tyler Durden on the plane, there's a thing where he's, like, talking about insomnia in his office.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's just spaced out, like, staring down the hallway. And Tyler Durden flashes leaning up against a desk.
Okay.
And then there's, like, a scene where he's, like, chasing Marla out of one of the support groups. and Tyler flashes on the sidewalk. You know, so like he just kind of like pops up there, and then suddenly he's on, like, you know, Edward Norton sitting on the plane and Tyler Durden sits down beside him. And that's how they introduce the character, right?
Wow. And that's so just wild. Like, I never knew that.
And yeah, yeah. If you...
So they're wanting you to watch this more than once.
Absolutely.
Because there's no way that you would pick that up beforehand without knowing what to look for.
Yeah, when you guys go back and watch it again, because I'm sure you will at some point in your life.
Yeah, I actually was considering doing it again just before tonight, but I got too busy over the last few days. I'm like, man, I really wish I would. I'd have to rent it. I don't own it.
Yeah. In the first 20 minutes of the movie, keep an eye out for just random, like, just blips across the screen in red leather.
Wow. Okay.
What I picked up on was the scene on the bus. The dude that bumps into the narrator, he says, excuse me, but he doesn't say anything to Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I picked up on that clue. But it was because I was looking for stuff like that. Yeah. And had I, the first time I saw it, of course, I wasn't looking for that kind of thing because it was just kind of, you know, so casual that I didn't realize that that's where it was going. So, yeah, definitely. You catch a lot more as you... Yeah, you know the ending.
Right. And I totally had forgotten what the ending was. I completely forgot most of this movie. So when I rewatched it, I was like really enthralled in the whole thing, which is really, you probably envy me, right?
Oh man, I anytime I watch this movie, like I'm always on the lookout for new things and catching it. And like, but the problem is I can never watch it with new eyes again.
Yeah.
So it's like chasing a high that I'm never going to get again.
Oh, right, right. Like that first punch in the face, right?
Absolutely.
When he punches him in the ear. So how we usually break down the movies, you know, we talk about we talked a little bit about our, you know, where we know it from and a little bit about the plot. So we usually talk about who's our favorite character. So I'm going to start with Scott. Who is your favorite character of these, you know, of the main characters in this movie?
This one's hard for me because Edward Norton, after this, I believe, came out with American History X, and that like solidified him as an actor for me for a brief little bit. Like I thought that movie was amazing. So like when I watch this, I kind of see Edward Norton with like a lot of respect. But I gotta say Tyler Durden, because Edward Norton's character in this movie is whiny and weak, man. He bothers me. He bothers me so much. Like, I'm not a chest pounding alpha male, but grow a set, buddy. Like,
that's that military family background is what that is.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what that is. So I've gotta say Tyler Durden, his attitude was there. And just, he was unpredictable. He was like a live wire and just, you could never really tell what his angle was or where he was going with anything. And just as things progressed, like, I don't know, like, I think I couldn't picture anyone else playing the role. And even though, like, I'm kind of mad at Brad Pitt for that role, because like for the next 5 years, my entire town was peppered with guys wearing leather jackets and frosted tips. And they looked more like Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray than Tyler Durden. Oh, no. You know, I really can't think of anyone else who could have played that role quite that way. So, like, hands down, Tyler Durden, I think. Although, honorable mention to Helena Bonham Carter's character, Marla Singer. I thought she did a grand job.
Yeah, what about you, Dave?
Well, you know, I'm always a fan of Leia Thompson, so I'm going Beverly Switzer. Oh, we're not talking Howard. Sorry. Okay.
Yes, Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Let me just sidetrack for a second. Scott, have you ever seen Howard the Duck?
I have not.
Okay.
Okay. You have the cinematic, beautiful movie that it is. Yes. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard wonderful things about it.
I've heard it's worth the watch? Question mark.
Well, we have a tendency of going off base, specifically because Scott really has a very, very low bar of what he considers a good movie. very, very, very low bar. I'm just talking like subterranean bar. I won't bring up the name of the movies, but there's one that in particular that he had me watch that is just crazy bad. But,
Scott,
you know,
I'll tell you all about that another time. I really will. I'll tell you about this movie that he's talking about.
Sure. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's way off topic. So, so
please tell me you're going to send it to him, make him watch it.
I might send it to you, Scott.
I made you guys sit through Fight Club. You got to make me watch something.
Okay. With that, that's a deal.
Oh, dear God. You do not know what you just signed up for. You'll want your hour and a half back. I promise you.
I'll make sure I'm doing something productive while I watch it.
Okay.
but back to the main question at hand. Edward Norton. And the reason why I'm picking him as my favorite is because to me it's the characters that I kind of relate with. And you know, he was just a guy that had an emotional issues going on in his world, and he was trying to make it right the only way he knew how, and mentally. And having gone through, you know, so many things like that in my life, where there's just things that you just kind of deal with and roll the punches and, you know, the work stuff. I relate to that kind of character where it's the, you know, you're grinding it out and you're just trying to make, you know, the ends meet or do whatever you have to do to, you know, for a job. And Ed Norton, I thought he really portrayed that really well. And so I really could associate to that character. You know, and what I like about, you know, the movie is kind of the evolution of his character. And I just really enjoy when you have that person that's kind of just going down that road of just dealing with mediocrity and just going, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done. And then suddenly they start evolving and changing and kind of taking control. While he was kind of, like you said, he didn't have a pair and he kind of had this, you know, obviously he has an alter ego, but it's like he was going, it's like he wasn't stopping the ride. He was just going with it. And in a lot of ways, I'm that guy. I'm that guy where it's just kind of like, okay, I'm going to go along for this ride because this ride seems better than the ride I was on. Mm-hmm. So I get the character for Ed Norton.
This is going to sound sadistic, but I was never more proud of his character than when he pulverized Jared Leto.
I'll tell you. Yeah, wasn't that great?
You know, I completely forgot that he was even part of this movie. I didn't even recognize him when I watched it this last time. I didn't even recognize it, but I was looking, I was telling a friend of mine that was over today that we're talking about Fight Club. He goes, oh yeah, this, that, and Jared Leto. I'm like, oh wait, he was in that? He goes, yeah, it's the blonde one that he beats the hell out of. And I totally passed over that.
Yeah, that was Joker.
I've never seen him as blonde, you know, I just never picked him up as blonde. So anyway.
But so, I agree with you, Scott, about American History X. Awesome movie. Ed Norton just did. He was so powerful in that role.
Just those two movies back to back, man. It was a good time for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've never seen American History X.
That is so powerful. That is such a wonderful movie. I highly recommend.
It's pretty brutal, like violent, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you're sensitive to some stuff, like you might want to prep yourself.
It's not so much me. It's, you know, I got to find time away from my wife. She doesn't like that kind of stuff. So
it's historical.
Well, it has the word history in a title.
Maybe you could pass it off as a historical documentary.
It's got a great message behind it, though.
Yeah, it's worth the watch. It's definitely
okay. All right, I'll check it out. I want to check it out. It's always been kind of on my, like, that list, that long list of movies that you've never seen that you kind of know you want to see.
And John Connor. John Connor from Terminator 2 is in it. Like, you can't go wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out. So I was having a hard time picking my favorite character, but I really think as an actor, or I should say actress, I think Marla, what's her name? Helen, I gotta look it up.
Helena Bonham Carter.
Thank you. Helena.
Yeah.
She was so trippy. Like, her facial expressions were just classic. She's really a good actress, and I never really realized who she, like, what else she's done. I don't know what she's done. I haven't really looked her up.
But any Johnny Depp movie ever.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Yeah. That she's just really, she really impressed me in this one. And then I was reading some of the blurbs, you know, some trivia stuff about the movie, and that she actually took it as far as when she was getting her makeup done by the makeup people, she made them use the opposite hand that they usually use, because she thought that her character would be a person that didn't really give a crap of how good their makeup looked. So she made the makeup artist use the opposite hand that they work with to make it look a little bit off, you know? I'm like, that's really getting into your character and thinking about it from a different angle. So I was very impressed with her. And her character is just such a trip to watch too.
Yeah, yeah, like from stealing clothes and selling them to like going to the support groups for men's testicular cancer, like for the free coffee.
Oh yeah, she's such a trip. Such a trip. But you know,
and I would agree, Marla is not the type that really worry about her outward appearance too much. She's just, right, you know, going to just make it work for the moment and just go with it.
She looked a little rough.
Yeah.
A little rough. And that brings me to a question. Was Marla really there?
I have always kind of thrown this around in my head, and I want to say that I think so. I do think so. Because after he blows his brains out in the end, she's still present. She's still there.
Huh. Okay.
You know, and that's always been like my defining thing where I'm like, okay.
Hmm.
Tyler Durden vanished, but she's still there. But there's so many things where, like, you start going back over things, and you're like, I don't know. Is she real? Is she fake? I can't tell anymore. My mind is, like, just gone on this movie.
Well, I mean, how do we know how much of this – this is the twisted part of this movie. It really makes you think about Edward Norton, the narrator's reality, right? Because if you really think about it, yes, it took two hours, 20 minutes to tell the story. But have you ever been just sitting and come up with just like some string of thoughts that happen in like 15, 20 seconds that can be drawn out to like 2 hours if you really dug into it? Like, oh, how do we know he's not just sitting at his desk and this whole movie is just a flash of a thought that he goes through on a daily basis?
You would think it would be. There'd have to be something, because like, I don't, the way it ended has always tripped me up, because who's going to live through that at the end, right?
Oh yeah, shooting himself in the head.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so like, I've always
goes out the side of his face, and he's still standing there, just like it didn't really faze him.
Boss, you're bleeding.
I'm trying to remember, did Marla really interact with anyone outside of the narrator and Tyler?
Well, yeah, she sold clothes to a woman at the beginning.
Okay.
And, but like outside of that, I'm not 100% sure if she did or not. Oh,
but
she stole food.
At the same time, that could have been the narrator doing that.
True.
Yeah.
But in the case of Tyler, the public pretended he didn't exist.
Hmm. Right.
Because he didn't, right? So I don't know. There's no real answer to it.
I had no idea what I was in for when I agreed. When you know, I was on your show, and I invited you to come on our show sometime, just, you know, to have some fun. And I don't know, a couple weeks later, you threw out the idea of Fight Club. I'm like, oh, yeah, all right. It's 99. I could go for that. And I sat down to watch this. And like I said before, it's like watching it with new eyes because I totally forgot about how it really – I forgot about the plot altogether, that it was not – there was not a Brad Pitt or a Tyler Durden. It was just his alter ego. So I had no idea. So it's very exciting to talk about this movie now, and it is so deep and interesting that it blows my mind. And I think I am going to have to watch it again. So
the part that has always enthralled me is like how quickly Tyler / the narrator, you know, built up this group of people mm-hmm. who like were willing to go to any length to make him happy. Mm. And he did this just like by creating a place where people could blow off steam and feel like they're part of something and feel like it's private at the same time. Right. And then all of a sudden it grew to lengths like a complete militarized structure. And like, it's just, man, that part alone was baffling and mind blowing to me. And then everything that fell in between the messaging, it's so much to get into.
Oh, it's a very involved movie, like psychologically. You really
have you guys if you had a favorite scene.
Oh, that was my next question, actually. Oh. That's our usual thing. So I just got to give a quick honorable mention as far as the roles and the actors is Meatloaf.
Yes.
I love Bob in this movie. It is Bob had awesome, bitch tits. Yes, he did. The moobs and it was fun to watch him though as Meatloaf. I like Meatloaf a lot. I think he plays so many great little supporting roles.
My favorite one, and this is embarrassing, the bus driver in Spice World.
Oh my god, dude!
Yeah, man.
Oh my god.
At one point, he's asked to go plunge a toilet in the back, and he was like, I love those girls, and I'll do anything for them, but I won't do that.
Love it.
I'll do anything for
them. I have not seen Spice Roll, but that right there would make me watch it.
Yeah, I lost it, man.
That's a nice little tag for himself. That's funny.
I love that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but yeah. I didn't know he was in that because I've, like Dave, I've never seen Spice World.
Yeah, I should be there with you guys, but...
Okay, let me ask you. How did you end up seeing that movie?
I spent the summer at my dad's place, and my little brother was there, mm-hmm. and he had the hots for the Spice Girls, so we watched it.
Okay.
Like 6 times in a row.
Oh, my God. Wow.
All right. Well, I can't blame him for Posh Spice. I could watch her. Did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to. That was just my inner thoughts. I didn't. Yeah. Sorry.
So let's get to the favorite scene then. Dave, what was your favorite scene?
Wow. So many great scenes in this movie. It's tough to just pick one. Off the cuff, I'm just, and I should have been thinking about this today, but I wasn't. Yeah, I'm a big fan of kind of the Brad Pitt giving the lay down to the whole group as far as like the whole rules of Fight Club. I mean, it really kind of sets the tone for what this club is. And, you know, just, I really love the moment where he's just kind of there and laying it out and says, here it is. Here's what we're doing. Here's rules, deal with it. And it's a very powerful cinematic moment because of it gave us such a great tagline that has transcended time, you know, because of this movie, you know, is, you know, the first rule is you don't talk about Fight Club. And then he goes on to, I think there was what, 8 rules? Is that right?
I think there's 8. I don't have them in front of me. I was just looking for them actually.
Actually, I did have it here open another tab.
Scott, do you
I know he doesn't say them all, but he probably lists about 4 of them or so, and then it kind of the narrator kicks back in and starts talking, but I believe there's 8 of them total.
Actually, I've got it right here. First, you do not talk about Fight Club. Second rule, you do not talk about Fight Club. Third rule, if someone says stop or goes limp, taps out, the fight is over.
Okay.
Fourth rule, only two guys to a fight. Fifth rule, one fight at a time. Sixth rule, no shoes, or no shirts, no shoes. Mm-hmm. And I think when he's going through this scene, you see like guys like taking their belts off and like kind of wrapping them around their fists.
Removing their rings.
Yeah. Yeah. Seventh rule, fights will go on as long as they have to. The eighth rule, if this is your first night at Fight Club, you have to fight.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He does get through them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to fight on your first night. That's... That would be so intimidating.
Oh, yeah. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
But here's a question back to you guys. Would you guys go to something like this and participate?
At least in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
You would? Oh, okay.
You know, there's a scene in That 70s Show mm-hmm. where – are you guys familiar with the show at all?
I know the show well. I've probably watched the series – 4 or 5 times all the way.
Beautiful. Through. All right. So like
I'm Stephen, familiar with the show, but I haven't watched it.
Okay. Stephen Hyde and Eric Foreman are in the basement and they're fighting with each other.
Yeah.
And Red, Eric's dad comes downstairs and he's like, why don't you guys just kiss and make up already? Basically. And they start fighting and he pushes the couch. And he's like, all right, enough. 10 rounds, you know, first, you know, and he basically just tells them like, you guys are going to fight this out like men.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, why would I do that? Red looks at them and goes, if you're not mad enough to bare knuckle box, then you're not mad. And
well, like, Red is a badass.
That was my dad, though. Like, oh. So for me, like, he didn't do Korea or Vietnam or anything like that. But like, he did like the Balkan Wars and stuff like that. So he was very much a rub some dirt on it kind of guy. And so, yeah, I don't know. Just the idea of going there and venting and blowing off some steam and, you know, just knowing that the other person is voluntarily there to do the same thing, can't be held against you, not pressing charges. I think I'd scope it out once just to see. I'd probably get my ass kicked, but that's not the point.
Yeah, that's, I gotta say, that's a tough call. I might wuss out and just say no, really. I'm way too pretty. I don't want to mess up this face. I'm what they Scott. Call Scott. I'm what they call man pretty.
Oh yeah, like I wouldn't want to go to prison, but I'd go to Fight Club.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, yeah, no, I don't know, man. It's a really tough question. I don't like violence. I'm not a fan of it. But
oh, this movie must be great for you.
No, I can watch movies with violence. However, I do watch, I can watch medical documentaries way easier than some of the brutality that you see in some of the movies nowadays. So I can handle like reality stuff, you know?
That's fair. That's fair. Cause I mean, like surgery is not brutal in that regard.
No, it's not. It's reality and it happens and it's intentional, but it's not like, you're talking about the deepest, darkest part of your instinct that has to come out, to do some of this stuff, you know? It's like your eyes glaze over and you're a different person. In my mind, that's how I would have to be. So, I don't know.
You would just have to go into survival mode.
What about you, Dave? Would you?
Surprisingly, I would. Yeah, it's like one of those things where I would just, you know, as long as it's not a street fight. And what I mean by street fight is we're not like, you know, scratching each other's eyeballs out or we're, you know, kicking each other in the groin. You know, it's just a fist fight. I'm with Scott where it'd be like, yeah, I'd probably get my ass kicked, but I would just, it'd be like just to find out what that's like to have that life experience.
If we ever run into each other outside of a bar, I give you full permission to hit me in the ear as hard as you can. I'll be your Tyler Durden, Dave.
Dude. That's awesome. All right, we need to go hang out.
Oh, my God.
But you'd have to hit me back because I need to find out. You know, I have to feel it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is part of
No question. No question. Yeah. I'd hit you back and we'd go from there. Like, you never know. It might turn out half as good as Fight Club did.
Oh, you guys are nuts. I do not like pain. that's too funny.
You know, my whole life could change after that moment. You know, it's kind of like the Back to the Future moment where, you know, he's like, my dad's never hit anybody in his life, but now all of a sudden, because he knocked Biff out, you know, he's suddenly, you know, doing other things and he's more assured of himself. Maybe that's what's missing in my life. Maybe it's because I haven't been in enough fights or any fights.
Me too. Maybe that is something that's missing back a little bit.
So maybe that's what Fight Club teaches us, that maybe we should be a little more primal.
And I think it does. I mean, I think they really express that you need to, you know, be in the moment. I think that's part of it. That's part of their whole deal is like, you got to live now.
Absolutely. That was the biggest motif. And like, I've had like three scenes that stand out to me in this movie. And I think one of them was when they first walk into the basement and lose, and Tom Waits starts blaring, bah, 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 and they start walking toward the basement. That was just a really cool scene. Definitely a runner up. And then the whole scene with Lou. The sign on the door says Lou's Pub. I'm fucking Lou. Who the fuck are you? That part, and Tyler just goes like ham on him. Oh, and like, what I love is that Tyler never hit him. Not once did Tyler hit him. He let him just kick the crap out of him and martyred himself, and everything kind of blew up from there. But
that moment,
all time,
that moment, yeah, yeah. He just takes his head and he like pops his neck a little bit.
You don't know where I've been, Lou.
Oh my god, that's a really intense scene.
You don't know where I've been.
And he's just laughing the whole time too.
Oh yeah, just maniacally.
Blood is pouring out of his mouth, and he's just laughing.
But 100%, hands down, favorite scene was when he pulls, I think his name is Raymond. Mm-hmm. Raymond Kessel, I want to say, something like that. Raymond C. Hessel, or mm-hmm. out of the back of the convenience store, and holds the gun to the back of his head.
Oh, yeah.
What did you want to be? You know, and telling him, like, you're going to go home tomorrow. You're going to apply for veterinary school. You're going to go to school. And if you don't, I will hunt you down and I will kill you. And I'm keeping your license. I know where you live. Run home, Raymond. Run home. And I can just imagine how that kid must have felt the next day of his life. And I bet you he signed up for veterinary school, like, that day. Because I would have.
Yeah, yeah. Dave, what do you think your favorite scene was?
Well, I already talked about it.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Scott, I for a second there, I thought Scott said that. So that's, I forgot about that scene, dude.
That one for me is the top, the biggest scene.
I was thinking back, and I was really digging the scene when he beats himself up in his boss's office.
I almost went out with that one.
It's like the big fuck you to the boss, and it is so awesome because there's many times, you know, in your life when you have to answer to somebody. And you just want to bring them down, and it's, you know, maybe not that extreme like what he did, but you know, there's just times and moments when you have these thoughts of like, you know, you kind of suck and you should be taken down or something, you know, and the way he did it, and just, I'm surprised he got away with it the way he did without somebody coming into the office. Before he finished his whole thing, you know, he beat himself up pretty good for a little while before somebody came into the room.
Well, they call it, he paged security when they came in. He grabs him by the hand and goes, please don't hit me again. Amazing scene.
So,
this scene happened first, but it reminded me a lot of American Beauty. Do you remember Kevin Spacey when he was doing... Like, he was quitting his job, and he was, like, blackmailing them.
Yeah. What's to stop me from saying that you didn't offer to suck my dick to stay on the board?
Right.
Or on the,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, it's just a, it's really just a twisted way of doing things. This whole movie, man, it's just twisted.
But the thing I find interesting about it is, like, none of them hit anyone who was part of Fight Club. Like, there was no there was a lot of mischief and there was a lot of crime, but no one ever did any kind of act of violence against someone who was not part of Fight Club. They were intentional about not hurting anyone else. Did you notice that? Like, even when they were going to execute their big plan at the end, they made sure the buildings were clear of any innocent people. Like, they were just, they were very intentional about not hurting other people. Except that one scene where they were encouraged to start a fight in public.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, and you will lose, right?
Yeah. Again, you'll lose the fight. So, yeah, like, you have to start a fight, but you're not allowed to win it. Like, just that whole movie, that's one thing that stood out to me is, like, everyone's like, oh, my God, they're so violent. They're so barbaric. But even in the most barbaric scene, when they take that guy out at the banquet, they never hurt him.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's true.
They just threaten him. They just threaten him. They scare the crap out of him.
Yeah, so that's one thing I always found interesting about that movie is, like, yes, it's extremely violent, it's extremely brutal, but everyone there has consented and said, yeah, it's okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, they're in. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty funny sequence with the, you're going to go out and start a fight with somebody. That was the thing to do, and the different scenarios that they put everybody into to try to pick a fight. You know, the guy spraying the priest was... With the hose was classic, man.
And the funny part is, like, the actor they picked to be the priest and the actor they picked to start the fight could not have been more anatomically different if they try.
Oh, right, they're very opposite. And then you see the priest at the Fight Club later on.
Right.
Like, you see him keep coming back for more. He's like, I'm in, you know? And which I can understand, you know, they probably have a very sheltered life, and this might just be a great outlet as a priest, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's definitely coated with amazing moments.
So we've talked about our favorite scenes, our favorite actors or characters, and we kind of talked about the plot. I have one thing that I just heard recently on another podcast that I wasn't expecting it, but there's a show called Hey, Do You Remember? And what they do is they just talk about movies from within the last 30 years, kind of like what we do. They just talk about movies, though. And they were talking about Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Now, have you guys heard the theory about this? The connection between this and Fight Club?
No.
No.
Dude. So Ferris is Tyler Durden. Ferris is to Cameron what Tyler Durden is to the narrator.
Snap. I could see that. I could see it.
Isn't that wild? Like, you really start thinking about Ferris Bueller's Day Off if you've seen it enough times. Like, I've seen it many times. I've just been, you know.
Is Ben Stein's voice, like, drilled into your head? Do you hear it perfectly?
Every time.
Bueller.
You know how many times Bueller. I've said that Bueller. Quote in my life? Bueller? Anyone? Yeah. Anyone? Bueller? Or anyone? Anyone?
Voodoo Economics?
No. Something O-O-D-O-O. That was not Ben Stein, by the way. That was the other teacher. The economics teacher, obviously. Yeah, no, that whole... So I heard that twist on, like, that Ferris Bueller is really the first version of Fight Club. I'm like, wait, what? Ferris Bueller is imaginary the whole time. And if you start thinking about it, really breaking it down, there's ways that it could be taken that way.
But here's the part I want to allude to for a moment, is that anytime you see... Edward Norton's character, you know, in a fight from the outside, he's just flipping around and kicking himself. Like, at one point he grabbed himself by the hair and threw himself down a set of stairs. Okay. And the security cameras. Now, could you imagine what the rest of the world would have seen looking in at Cameron if Bueller wasn't actually there?
Yeah. He'd just be a nutcase.
Absolutely. He'd just be the weirdest kid ever.
Yeah. Yeah, just, I thought it was a pretty funny theory to go on. Let's see, what else do I have? Oh yeah, what's with people fat soap? Seriously, how twisted is that shit?
Although I will say it was a funny scene to watch Edward Norton like break the law, like trespass for the first time, and like really, like I think that's what it was all about. But the fact that like the whole making of the soap scene, like just everything about that soap part was just, I honestly feel like the soap element was the darkest part of the movie.
It's pretty freaky, dude.
It's the cleanest because it's soap, but it's the darkest without a doubt.
Well. Like, remember, I said that I saw it many, many years ago, and I totally forgot what it was. And then I would see the picture of him holding up that bar of soap with Fight Club on it. Yeah. It completely passed me by that that's what they were talking, that that was a reference to the movie. That it was soap, you know, that it was human soap, and it's Fight Club, and it's just this weird twist. But like, it was so disgusting. Like, it was... When they were hopping over the barbed wire fence and they caught the one bag of people fat on, it spilled all over them. Oh God.
Yeah, and like when you really like dissect the movie again, watch it 100 times and get back to me on this. You notice that like the soap had the fat, the stealing, you know, the trespassing. He was going and flirting with all these beautiful sales consultants and, as he put it, selling their own asses back to them. You know, the chemical burn scene was surrounded with the soap. He's there telling you, like, you know, equal parts this and this, you can make napalm, completely foreshadowing later the bathtubs filled with soap there. And, you know, like everything straight up to the explosives they're going to use at the end all come from that soap. Like that. And so it's just crazy when you think about like the soap was really the catalyst for all of the dark, twisted stuff they were doing. The soap was the vehicle.
Wow. You really have seen this a few times and picked it apart, haven't you?
A little bit, yeah.
So how many times do you think you've seen it? Like, I'm sure that it's one of those movies that I've heard people use the term houses on fire movie. Like if your house is on fire and you're running past the TV and this show is on, you might stop for a second and watch a little bit.
Yeah, I actually, I'd probably like drop everything I was carrying and grab the DVD player.
except for Scotland, right?
yeah, no, she'd have to. I'm trying to let's put it this way. I'm already trying to figure out when is an appropriate age to introduce her to this movie.
Oh, dude!
Wow.
Because I was 11, and I feel like that might have been too soon. I was very impressionable.
Oh, my goodness.
I never frosted my tips, but I was very impressionable. So I think if I had to ballpark it, man, I'd say definitely north of 100. Like, seriously? I've seen it that. Yeah, I think this is the only movie I've ever watched to the point where, like, the DVD would no longer play, and I had to go out and buy another one.
Wow.
I cannot think of a movie that I've seen that much.
Yeah, me either. I can't think of another one. Like, I've had favorites like Boondock Saints I've watched quite a few times, and like there's a lot of different like American History X I've definitely seen a few times and stuff like that, but I think the next one down would be Wolf of Wall Street that I've played and replayed since. And then embarrassingly enough, Last Holiday with Queen Latifah.
Oh, really?
I've seen that movie at least 16 times. But, wow. But Fight Club is like north of 100.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I've watched War Games many, many, many times because it was always on I had it on my iPod, you know, the video on the iPod or on my phone or on iPad. And so anytime I'm on a plane, War Games is going on.
I thought it was Braveheart.
That too. I have Braveheart. Now good. I have a bigger, my iPad's memory has got more space, so. My newer iPad that I upgraded last year. So it has enough room to have, I have Braveheart. I don't have War Games on it right now. I downloaded it. Braveheart, Forrest Gump. That's, you know, 3 hours each right there. And then I have Vegas Vacation, Step Brothers, and a couple others that are odd.
You have no idea how much I love that. Forrest Gump made the cut.
Oh yeah, that's a great movie. I love it. It's one of my favorites.
I would think the only one that I have that's maybe close to that is Real Genius.
Oh, Val Kilmer, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one too. I love that movie.
Absolutely love it. But I couldn't imagine. I know I haven't seen it 100 times, and I don't even own it. But if it's on, I'm watching it.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was something else I wanted to talk about.
It's not like we're in the middle of a show or anything. Shush. Come on. Jesus. Who's in charge around here?
Yeah. I'm kind of at the end of my notes. Oh,
I got a shout out I gotta do. I'm Scott's complete lack of direction.
Do you guys want to do some final thoughts on the movie?
No, I got a shout out I gotta do.
Oh, okay.
No, I tweeted earlier. I was asking,
I've been company all day. I haven't looked at anything today.
Well, we only got one response, but the question was, tweet us which historical person you'd want to fight and the reason why. So I think actually that might be a great question that if you have even thought about it, but the response I got on Twitter was as a guy who runs, @dubisms, which is DUBSISM, a blog about sports and movies, I want to fight John Wayne. He's one of a few who would be in my weight class, and I want to see how tough he is without a fight choreographer. Hmm. I thought that was an excellent response. I mean, I was like, I don't know about, taking on the Duke, but, God love him for let's see what this guy's made of. Hmm. But yeah, I guess if you had that same question, which they talked about in the movie, a historical figure. Have you thought about that at all? Or and Scott Doucette, I would think that you probably the one that had seen the movie the most. Have you given that question any thought?
I haven't. And just now when you asked that, man, there's so many, which is horrible. Like this interview is really telling me a lot about myself. I think I need therapy. There's a lot of people I would fight from history, but I think, I'm a huge hockey fan. I'm a Boston Bruins fan. Mm-hmm. I think I'd want to fight Gordie Howe. And I think he would eat me alive because he was notorious for, let's put it this way, a Gordie Howe hat trick, for anyone who knows hockey, a hat trick is when you score 3 goals and it's very celebrated. A Gordie Howe hat trick was a goal, an assist, and a fight. So, I don't know. I think just in the sheer chance I hit him just right and he drops, I'd be a legend. So I definitely think I would fight Gordie Howe.
Wow.
Now, is he still around?
No, honestly, he's either, I think he's passed away. I'm not sure. I'd have to check. But, if not, then I'm just really insulting right now. I'd want to fight a really old dude, but. I'd say I'd want to fight Gordie Howe in his prime, not Gordie Howe now.
I gotcha.
What about you, Scott? What historical figure would you fight?
Historical figure. Man. How about Johnny Carson?
Johnny Carson? What?
I don't know. No.
First of all, why?
It was the first
Dick
thing
Clark. I'd fight Dick Clark.
No, it was,
who was on New Year's Eve.
No, who was on Happy Gilmore? Who did Adam Sandler fight? Who was the game show host?
Oh my God,
Bob, not Bob Eubanks. Bob Barker.
Bob Barker.
Yeah, that's who I want to fight. Bob Barker.
With his microphone.
On a golf course.
Just because Happy did it?
I don't know. Just because I'm caught off guard by the question. I have nobody. I have no idea who I'd want to fight. There's a lot of assholes from the past that could, that deserve a good beat down, but I don't know. I was not expecting. I have no idea where to go with it.
I think I'm going to check my conscience that way from now on. What would Happy Gilmore do?
That's a good way to check yourself, I think. Yeah. What would Happy do?
Dave, who would you fight with? Yeah.
I was trying to come up with, like, you know, somebody significant in history, and it's tough to think of somebody in that way that, you know, that's who I'd want to fight. You know, it's like, I can't come up with I think they brought it up in the movie as like Abraham Lincoln. I couldn't see that, or Gandhi or something like that. I can't put myself in that role. I relate myself to somebody else like you that already has that fighting theme in their life. And the person I keep thinking about is Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Ooh, but that's cool. But, pick, dude.
But I know I would get my ass completely kicked. But at the same time, it would be like, you know, if I could just be like Cool Hand Luke, you know, where he'd beat me down, I'd stand back up and just keep doing it. And just until I'm just standing there, and then finally he'd be like, screw it, I'm done with this guy. And he just walks away. I'd want to be that guy. I'd want to be the, just keep getting a lick in, just stand back up and go, okay, let me continue to try to fight just to see if I could do it.
I think winning a fight against the Dalai Lama would be easy.
Well, I mean, are we picking an easy fight? I mean,
I mean, if you just want to win, to get one, like an easy win under your belt, why not the Dalai Lama?
Yeah, if that's what we're going for, then yeah, I guess it would be, yeah, let me pick somebody like, I don't know, Matthew Broderick.
So I that's an interesting pick, Dave. Roddy Piper, considering he has one of the best fight scenes with Keith David in They Live.
Yeah. Yeah, and I keep thinking, because I was a big fan of Piper's
Pit. You're going to draw that out and like let him just make you wear the glasses?
Put on the glasses!
Put on the damn glasses.
I think we need to resurrect Piper's Pit, honestly.
Oh my god, that was Saturday. You know, I loved watching World Wrestling Federation back when it was World Wrestling Federation. And yeah, I was all about Piper's Pit. And I remember the time that he was beating the shit out of Jimmy Snuka, just embarrassing the hell out of him. And then you like listen to him later on in his life before he died, when he was doing a podcast. And it was just kind of like how matter of fact he was about, you know, how things were staged and kind of what was going on in the background. And he talked about how he got picked for They Live. And it was just, I mean, he is such a complex guy. And it wasn't just, you know, a dumb wrestler. And so I really, you know, I really started to admire him. And I don't know why I would pick to fight him, but it was just because I'd want to have that moment.
I have to fight someone deep. I can't fight someone who's like shallow and unintelligent.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the hell that's about, but you're right.
Do you have moral fiber so I can kick your ass?
Now, let me ask you a few questions before we start kicking each other's ass.
Would you mind filling out this application?
I don't like your answer to number two. Never mind.
Oh, man. That's a good question. And you really, I'm going to have to go back and think about it and really try to find somebody in history that I would want to
fight. I stick to Johnny Carson.
But
what a great answer.
No, I like the Roddy Piper answer. That is awesome. That is awesome. You guys both pick fighters though, like people that are known for their fighting capabilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you pick someone who doesn't fight, I don't know. Like it's so unpredictable. It could go so many different ways. I like to pick someone who knows what they're doing. So at least like if I do overcome the challenge, I know it was a challenge worth overcoming.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
How about Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah, I don't know. I think she'd hand my ass to me, man. I still think I'd try to take Bobby Orr on that.
Oh, really? Wow.
I need one I think I can win. Just maybe, even if it's like a 1% chance.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's pretty badass. She took on a bunch of aliens, you know?
Yeah.
And survived many, many series or episodes of Aliens. So,
All right. I got it. William Zabka.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, when I think it's Edward Norton. Yeah, Edward Norton goes, I'd fight William Shatner. In that moment, I was like, you know what? I don't blame you. Like, I'm not even mad. I'd, you know, someone's got to. Like,
that's a good pick. That is.
Yeah.
So, William Shatner. For doing all those stupid commercials for Priceline.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anyone on earth who would fight Tom Jones.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Did you see that? A great question.
That's a good one. Oh, you're going down that road. That's
Celebrity Fight Club needs to happen immediately.
Well, you remember?
I'll book the matches. I don't even care.
Did you ever watch the MTV? I think it was on MTV.
Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah. Was yeah. Awesome. Back when
I feel like it would be a lot less hardcore.
Well, it was all claymation.
It was claymation.
Yeah.
You should look it up sometime. It's pretty entertaining. There's some good celebrity deathmatch stuff. And because it's claymation, like they like really like tear each other to pieces and there's blood and gore and stuff.
Yeah, and very gratuitous.
Yes, it's funny. I remember there was one this is when Bill Clinton was still president and they had, so that shows how long ago it was the 90s, I think. Wasn't it, Dave? Remember?
Yeah.
90s?
Oh.
They had Hillary in the ring fighting somebody, and I think she decapitated the other fighter or something like that. Like, wow. So, anyway, so let's wrap it up and kind of get going here. We'll, do you have any closing thoughts, Scott, on Fight Club?
Yeah. I don't know. There's just one scene that has always stuck with me for ever. And it was a scene with Marla in it. And, I think more people need to apply this to their lives and they'll be a lot happier. Mm-hmm. There's a scene when Edward Norton gets on the bus and he hands her a bunch of money and she goes, I'm keeping this as asshole tax. You know, I've always loved that scene. And I think the more people treat you like shit, the more you should make sure to take some of their stuff as taxation.
All right, that's a good one. Dave, you got any final thoughts?
I just wish that, you know, in a lot of ways in my life, I could have adopted a lot of the philosophy of Tyler without being quite the destructive force that was Tyler. You know, I think that, you know, there's something about just seizing the moment. And I think I've done that in some ways, but there's other ways where I kind of let things play out and then watch it from the sideline and then wish I would have been involved. So if anything, this movie is a great message behind it and being the person that just says, you know, fuck it, I'm jumping in right now. And I think that's a powerful message for the times, you know, where you've got, you know, the people that have aspirations and dreams and trying to figure out what they want to be in the world and just embrace it and, you know, be what you're going to be, and enjoy what you're doing. And it's a subtle message in here without being destructive, but I think it's a very powerful message. And I think this movie shows that. And that's what I love about it.
I completely agree with you. Even though it was about a basically a schizophrenic who had multiple personality, the person that is coming out on the other end through Tyler Durden is somebody that sometimes in the back of, I think, everybody's mind, they wish they could be like that assertive and decisive and just ready to go. just ready to go on the impulse no matter what the situation. I think all of us deep down would really, really like to be able to do that once in a while. Especially when you're driving around and some asshole cuts you off. I mean, there's just times when you just want to go loose on the people.
But as someone who lives his life that way a little more often than maybe I should, it can get you into trouble. So
well, but it would be, you gotta admit, everybody feels that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Everybody feels like they're holding back a little bit because they have to, because that's what society says is right. You know? So anyway, I agree. I like both your takes.
Do you think that that's why a lot of the, you know, the books that are currently popular nowadays, like, you know, I forget the title of it, but it was something about, you know, the subtle art of not giving a fuck. You know, are those kind of titles popular now because people are embracing that kind of attitude? Hmm. And maybe that's a little too deep for this conversation, but something to think about.
Yeah. I think everyone embraces a little bit of that attitude incrementally throughout their lives as they hit obstacles that make them uncomfortable. And eventually, like, to accomplish anything in life, you have to hit that stage where you're like, you know what? I don't care. I just can't stay here anymore. I don't care if it works. I don't care if it doesn't. I just cannot stay here. Right. And then you jump and you can't give a shit. You can't care. You know, if you're going to make that jump, you jump. And, you know, I've done that a few times in my life. And I think Fight Club may or may not have had an influence on it. But anytime I've jumped, man, like they say, the one thing they talk about is bottom. When you hit bottom, there's nowhere to go but up. And, one thing I will say is that that's not true. You can have your face scraped along the bottom for quite a long time. So,
yeah.
You know, one thing I will say is that if you are going to seize the moment, if you are going to jump into life headfirst, make sure it's calculated.
Yeah.
Assess some risks.
You made me think of another, the way you were wording that, you made me think of another movie that's similar as far as living in the moment and doing what, you know, what you feel right at the moment. And that's Falling Down. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
I haven't.
Dude, you need to check that one out.
Awesome.
Michael Douglas. Really, really good. Really good. Not with the twist of the alter ego, but very much like living in the moment and going with what's going on in your life and saying, you know what? I don't care anymore. I don't care. I'm just going for it. So
I like
it's
that.
Really
I'll
intense. It it's a very intense movie. It's a good one.
I like Michael Douglas, so yeah. I'll definitely check it out.
Check it out. So anyway, yeah, great conversation, guys. I love this. I'm so glad that you chose this movie, Scott, and suggested it because it was a fun ride. It really it's so far out there. Just such a fun ride, and I have a whole new respect for it. And Brad Pitt. I think, and Edward Norton, I've always liked him as an actor.
Till you see American History, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch that one. So that'll be next on my list. So, Scott, you wanna?
I'm curious about it though. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Scott Compton.
Go ahead.
But, Scott Doucette, you had mentioned that you had this aversion, I guess, to Brad Pitt before. And I relate to that because I had the same thing with Tom Cruise. So I was just like, you know, is it because like a stream of movies that you had seen him in that you were like, I can't deal with him right now?
I think you're thinking Scott Compton because I'm actually a closet Brad Pitt fan. I own way too many of his movies.
Oh, okay.
He does have some stinkers, man. He has some awful ones. But between Fight Club and Troy, when those two came out back to back, and then Snatch, as these movies started coming out and he started playing some really unique roles, I was like, you know what? He's not just a pretty face. So he's actually got like talent. And so I started watching it. And then, you know, sometimes he is just a pretty face, it turns out.
And that's my description of Tom Cruise. He's just a pretty face. I don't see any acting talent. So I get the reference, but in the opposite of what you're saying about Brad.
Yeah, I think my aversion to him was that I felt like he was just another pretty boy that was getting a lot of attention because of
you felt threatened. Your man pretty.
Yes.
You're intimidated.
My man pretty was being threatened. You're absolutely right. I was a little jealous. It's not the first time it's happened either. You know, like Bon Jovi, John Bon Jovi. I'm like, he sucks, but he doesn't really. He doesn't suck. he's getting all the chicks. That's all.
I went to see Bon Jovi live with my mother and my sister, and a biker literally like grinded up against my mom, and she had no idea that it was the biker. Like she wasn't sure who it was. She just was enjoying the moment. She was grinding up against him. She stopped. She turned around, looked at him, and he had this bandana, and he was like 6'4" and bald, wearing leather. And she was like, "Oh my god!" But yeah, Bon Jovi is definitely another one of those pretty men.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So that I think that was maybe I was threatened and didn't like him on that level because you know I'm exposed to millions of women all the time and
heaven forbid Brad Pitt get one of them.
Right. So anyway, no, you know, and then I started watching a few of his other stuff and Troy was good. And I really actually did like 7 years in Tibet.
Mm.
And Legend of the Fall. It was actually a pretty good movie. So
I love him in the Ocean's 11 movies.
Yeah, yeah. The dialogue in those movies are good. And you know what? Seven was pretty good with Morgan Freeman.
Oh my God, that's a great movie.
Yeah. So. I don't know. This is a Brad Pitt gush fest now. What happened?
I tell you.
I think Edward Norton is a little more interesting, personally. But anyway.
The Incredible Hulk? Okay.
No, that's not. Well, I know he played that role, but Mark Ruffalo is now the new Incredible Hulk. But no spoilers. I haven't seen the next movie yet, by the way.
You haven't seen Endgame yet? What the hell?
I have not. Dude, I have a list of movies that I need to see for other podcasts that I want.
All right, I'm going to ruin it for you. The Butler did it.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So anyway. Scott, do you want to give us some social media stuff or tell us where people can find you if they want to hear more of your podcasts?
Yeah. You can find me on Facebook, Podcast Bay is my page. I post there when I remember. But for the most part online, I don't do a lot of like marketing and stuff like that. So you can look me up on Facebook, Scott Doucette. You can catch me on Instagram, Scott_Doucette. It's mostly just pictures of my kid and my family and me being like an actual person because I think digital marketers are super annoying.
hey now.
If they're tasteful about it, I don't mind. But, you know, I try to keep the fluff to my business pages. So, yeah, just look me up, Scott Doucette. You may find a hockey player who I'm competing with for Google rankings. You know, yeah, add both of us. That's make us fight.
Doucet. Oh, there's a good idea.
Fight for the first page of Google. Yeah. I'll do it.
You're all in, right? But then we can't talk about it.
No.
First rule. Absolutely not. If I'm about to get humiliated, I don't want to talk about it either.
So as far as we go, Dave and myself, we are part of Bonsai Retro Club, and you can find us on Facebook at Bonsai Retro Club or at bonsairetroclub.com. You can send us emails through there, or an email to mcfly@bonsairetroclub.com. Obviously, we're big fans of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and since that's what our podcast is all about, go on to iTunes or wherever you can and give us a rating if you don't mind. That would be awesome. And we will, Dave, I will talk to you soon. And Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about Fight Club. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet.
Yep. Be excellent to each other.
Oh yeah. I almost forgot. Be excellent to each other.
Gotta remember that.
And have a good whatever.
Yep.
Whenever you're listening to this. Take care.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 Okay, we're clear.
I feel good about it. I'm signing up for therapy.
Yeah, you did this whole 3-2-1 before you started, and now you said, and we're clear. It's like, when did you get so formal, Scott?
I probably listened to another Jesse Jackson. Oh, Scott, I'm sorry. You don't know who our Jesse Jackson is. He's a guy that does a podcast about Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
I'd been on his shows in the past, and he always did the countdown 3-2-1, and then we're clear. So it kind of came out tonight, you know.
I've been a part of 45 launches, and I was sitting here going, "Holy shit, these guys are official."
We never do it that way. But
we really don't.
3-2-1, yeah.
Well, you're usually the one that leads off, and we usually just roll right from like the introduction right into the show. Oh, welcome to Bonsai Retro Club, and you know, and we do that way, and then the ending is kind of, all right, we'll see you later, and then we chit chat for a little while afterwards after we end the conversation. Sometimes we throw it in on the end of the show if people want to hear it, if we think it's interesting enough.
Yeah, you know, like the post bumper, pre bumper, sometimes we'll throw in, you know, crap that we talked about beforehand. We actually started or, you know, what we left off on.
Yeah.
If it's relatable, you know, if it's something, you know, topic related or something that we think, you know, is interesting to our listening, you know, public. You know, obviously the whole idea behind the Bonsai Retro Club is just, you know, if you're sitting around having a dinner conversation and you're just shooting the shit about, you know, your favorite movie, your favorite TV show, whatever, you know, that's what we want to have. And so sometimes the pre-conversation and the post-conversation, it, you know, has a lot of that same kind of vibe. Like, I can't tell you how many hours that Scott and I have talked about liquor.
Yeah.
You know, and
Tullamore Dew,
I tell you, we had to put all that shit together.
we would
have a whiskey podcast.
We could do that easily.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm a scotch kind of guy. I like expensive scotches.
Oh,
big fan.
Right.
Big fan.
I just realized I forgot that you're an hour ahead of me, which
means it's 10:30 here.
So I hope we didn't go over your time too much.
Hey man, the baby's still asleep, and I'm gonna go downstairs and kiss my wife and thank her for giving me the evening off. So
and thank her for us too. Say
yeah, I will.
Yeah, definitely.
We really appreciate it. Blast having you on. If you have any other
I'll give her a kiss and I'll be like, that's for my alter egos, Scott and Dave.
Nice.
They're cooler than me.
If you ever want to come back on the show, we'd love to have you back on.
That'd be wild. Man.
If you have another idea, of as far as like a movie or a TV show or something, let us know and we'll consider.
When were you born, Scott?
I was born in 88, so I caught the 90s head on because I had a sister 6 years older than me.
Okay.
So, you know, I was in elementary school rocking out to the Offspring.
Nice.
Bad Habit.
Okay.
You know, and I fell in love with the punk scene. So like I'm a huge punk fan, metal fan, hip hop fan from the 90s. I'm a huge 90s hip hop fan. So yeah, like there's a lot I can talk about. I can go in any direction you want from that era. Anything before that, sadly, I was not a spectator of, but it's still a huge fan of music dating back to as far as the 70s. So actually, I like music from the 40s and 50s. So
that's interesting.
Rock on.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of fun. So I'm sure I can come up with something. Maybe might not be as jaw dropping as Fight Club was, but there's a lot of fun things out there to talk about. So I appreciate the invite back.
Oh, absolutely. I had a great time. You might even expose me to another movie that I haven't watched in a long time. So.
Oh, nice. Awesome. All right, guys, have yourselves a great night and thanks again so much.
Take care.
Yep.
Cheers.
Bye.